Thank you for joining us for this teaching from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
And you know, we should be praying in the Spirit and with understanding if we do, but we should be praying in the Spirit for all the government people. But like, I like what Lance Wilnow says. Well, he would talk about, I can't think of his name, but the long-haired comedian guy that's on from England that got saved here recently.
Brandt,
yeah. And he got, Lance used to say, you know, they're interested, they're talking about the Spirit. We need to call them in, we need to call them over. And then he's been doing that with Elon Musk. And I don't know if you've heard Elon Musk talk about the Lord, but I think he's a Christian. He says he is now. And when he bought, I saw his testimony, and when he bought Twitter, and then he was getting attacked because he lost a bunch of money, you know. I mean, if I lost 250 million or billion, maybe it was 250 billion, whatever it was, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about good money, you know. So, but anyway, so he was a little discouraged. So he went, kind of like Howard Hughes, he went down to Las Vegas, and he just got a room, probably, you know, Howard Hughes got a floor. He got the whole top floor. So maybe Elon did that. But he went to church on Sunday morning. He just went incognito, sat in the back of the church, and he listened, and he told the story. You know, what the pastor that was telling the story was telling the story how, you know, he used to be in business, and he said it was just a perfect message for Elon, even though he didn't know Elon was sitting there. And it really turned him around and really helped him, and then it, you know, taught him about salvation. So then all these churches, that church but other churches in Las Vegas, started getting these huge donations, anonymous donations. But when they're that big, now they didn't ever say how big they were, but they said they were big enough that eventually you're going to figure out where it came from. And then they figured out it was coming from one of his organizations. But he was telling that testimony. And so, you know, I don't doubt that he got saved, you know. But then we want to keep praying for them to come in. Keep praying for them. And you need to pray for them to be protected. Even Trump, he got changed when he was on that stage, got shot. He says it. I got up different. Well, that was prophesied by that pastor, Biggs. And so he said, I saw him down. He was down there worshiping. Well, worship may look different to some people. You know, that was probably, thank God I'm alive, you know. But he said, I got up different. I got up realizing I'm here for a purpose, for a reason, you know. So we want to keep praying for them, though, because they're in very influential places to transform this nation. We want them to transform it for good. Now, not everything Elon, you know, believes, I'm sure I believe, but he's really declared war on woke. Yeah. He says he lost a son to woke. He said, they lied to me. They told me if I'd signed this paper, he's going to get better. He said, I lost my firstborn son. I mean, he's still alive, but I guess he's a girl now or something. But at any rate, so when you have a guy that powerful that has declared war on something, there's going to be a war. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? Already woke is losing. And a year ago, they were declaring, you know, Disney, they're declaring all those conservatives have lost, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then the Bud Light moment happened. And now things have changed, and you're seeing Walmart and everybody else just dropping all that DEI. And I like what, I posted it actually, what I heard Ben Carson was talking. He says, DEI needs to DIE. So I took that quote and I gave him credit for it, but it's true. But point is, pray for those guys. Cause you guys, I don't know if you, some of you might be old enough to remember when Bob Dylan got saved. And Bob Dylan was an evangelist. I mean, he was out there, and you can still go on YouTube and you can find it when he was doing his concert in, I think it was San Francisco, and he's witnessing, there's only two kinds of people, saved and unsaved, and you got to be saved, and he's going on and on and on and on. And then he was on all the TV shows and everything like that, but they wore him out. They abused him, basically. I mean, everybody wanted to have him on the show because it's Bob Dylan, but nobody took care of Bob Dylan, the kid, the Christian, the young guy. And so eventually he wore out, and eventually he said, I got unborn again, you know, you can't get unborn again, but he said that. But he's a Jewish kid, grew up Jewish kid, and became a Christian. Well, he's still a Christian, whether he wants to be or not. But the point is that the abuse, it really was abuse, you know, because nobody was watching. Yeah. I don't know if he had a mentor or anything, you know, but nobody was covering his back to say, no, no, you need to maybe not do all those shows or, you know, not let them take advantage of you, basically. So you get wore out. And Christians can do that, you know. But so can non-Christians. That's like people say, well, I got hurt in church. Yeah, it's a good thing you don't get hurt in the world. Yeah. Okay. All right, I got something to share tonight. Let me start my clock. All right, here we go. Well, I want to talk to you about New Year's Eve and the four lightning strikes that happened. I posted this. But I really was been looking into it. It's been actually kind of fun to look into this and what the scripture says about lightning and so on. But let me just read this to you. Lightning struck four iconic structures on New Year's Eve, 2024-2025. The Capitol, the Empire State Building, the One World Trade Center, and the Washington Monument. All in the same storm. And I understood that they were all, two of those at least were at the same time. Okay, but I couldn't find out in my searching which ones it was. But I do know this: the maybe it's both of them in D.C. But it says here D.C. was hit at 5:36 p.m. Okay, so now Lance Wonow wrote right away about this. He says sometimes the locations and the timings are significant. So the questions you have to ask is, will New York be hit this year, let's say with a bomb or you know something bad? Does trade imply that the economic is going to get hit somehow? Will Wall Street get hit? Do the two targets in D.C. represent that there's going to be a big shaking in the government, although we all expect that kind of. We're actually hoping for that, actually. But anyway, he said he felt like the Lord really said, look up 5:36. And so he felt like the Lord in his spirit said, check the time. And he heard John. So he looked up John 5:36, which says, I have a greater testimony than that of John. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So basically, you got Jesus saying, look, greater works than those that have been praying away for me, but I got some great things are going to happen now and you're going to see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you put that there, now is that good or bad? Well, I would say that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, does that shake things up? Yeah, when Jesus said that, things got shook up in Israel, didn't it? You know, and so, but nevertheless, good came from heaven. Remember he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, Satan falling, you know, seeing Satan, he's a bad guy. But seeing him falling like lightning, that's a good thing. So point is lightning good or bad? Well, if you're the Frankenstein monster, lightning that gives you life, it brings you to life, you know. But for the people who have to meet him, it's not such a good thing. So is it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, that's what we want to look at tonight. So he said, Lance said, the invisible God is about to act in visible ways, and we need to see his hand at work. He has works for you to accomplish. What are they? So that's, you know, he's speaking to us as he wrote that. Okay, so now I want to read you some comments. So I want to read you a few things from different folks here that commented right away. Utah Senator Mike Lee, he took the video from the Capitol strike, and he shared it. And he says, it feels like an omen. What is it telling us? I thought that was really cool coming from a senator. So, similarly, a conservative commentator, Pamela Hensley, suggested that it was divine intervention. And she wrote, this is a good indication that the Lord Almighty wants the Biden administration to leave. Well, anyway. Yeah, that's what she said. But anyway, I would not probably lean that way because it didn't strike the White House. It struck the Capitol building. So, you know. But anyway, okay. The strikes come at a politically charged moment in the United States with Joe Biden preparing to leave office and former President Donald Trump set to return to the White House on January 20th. Many online commentators viewed the lightning as a symbol of divine or cosmic significance. I'm not trying to just look at what some of the Christians have said, but I'm trying to look at some of what the secular people have said. All right, tying it to the impending political transition. So a lot of people are looking at it like, and he used the word omen. I don't usually use the word omen, but still I'm using his word. So, but people are paying attention. Actually, that's a good thing that more people are waking up and paying attention. Trisha Flanagan, a Republican politician, shared her thoughts on social media. Quote, the Capitol is struck by lightning, the Washington Monument right after, and thunder roars. All as 2025 is ushered in. It's going to be biblical. Now, is that good or bad? Well, it depends on if you're with Pharaoh or you're with Moses. Do you know what I'm saying? Think about that. Think about the Ten Commandments and you know, Charlton Heston. You know, there was a lot of lightning in that movie, right? So depending on where you were, whether that was good lightning or bad lightning. So again, that's what I want to look at this and see, well, what would we say? Because I want to know, what is God trying to communicate to us? You know, if God wants to, he can just write it in the clouds so everybody sees it in their language. It doesn't even have to be English. He can write it up there like pre-Tower of Babel language, and everybody in the world could see it and understand it if he wanted to. So he doesn't do it that way, or he hasn't done it that way, for a reason. He wants us to pay attention, and he wants us to seek him and come up with something. And I also think he does it in a way like that. He can say one thing to one person and say something to somebody else, and he can be right in both cases. It's up to us, though, to get the right message. What is he saying to us? So anyway, it's going to be biblical. And other people wrote something similar like this. It feels like an omen. I wonder what God is telling us. So people are saying that. Like I said, I tried to look up some of the reports that weren't even necessarily from Christian websites. Well, some weren't. I think the one that wrote that about the Capitol being hit, she was in the Capitol. She didn't know about New York yet being hit in the same time period. They were real close, even though I think the two in Washington were the same time. Actually, if you look at the video, it does look like there's one video you can see where it's the Washington Monument, one where you can see it's the Capitol, but there's another one I saw where you could see both, although the monument's back there in the dark, you know, the Washington Monument, but when it lights up, it looks like it's hitting at the same time. I want to add a little addendum about the lightning. When we would host our Apostle Prophet conferences and things, I would always try to, you know, obviously we took up honorariums for our speakers, and I would always try to get a special card and write them a note and put the honorarium in that at the end. So I'd pray about it and try to get something special for each individual speaker, no matter who they were. And I kind of like some of the local things on the, you know, for the cards and so on. I get some of the local artists. And one artist whom you're all aware of, probably the most famous Montana artist after Charlie Russell, is Monty Dolak, you know, and of course he's local here, but anyway, he has some great stuff. His style has changed, but some of it can actually be kind of prophetic. Well, he has this one, and actually the one I chose the first time we had Paul Keith Davis here, and I prayed about it, and I chose this one, and here's a picture of it. I blew it up. The colors aren't as bright on this picture, but it's called A Bright Idea, and you've got the lightning bolt coming down and hitting that rock face. It looks like a rock face, and it's hitting it right in the forehead, and you got a little guy standing over here on the rock just looking up at it. And the title of the painting is A Bright Idea. And so in light of what does lightning mean to different people, to me that's like, well, you wouldn't want to be struck by that lightning, but it's coming down. It's like enlightenment is what this is saying. This is enlightenment. Well, anyway, I gave that to Paul Keith, and then the next morning we had breakfast, you know, and he says, Lord, I need to talk to you about that picture. He says, where did you get that? You know, and why did you pick that? And I said, well, I asked the Lord, and I said, do you like it? He goes, that is really personal. He says, I'm not going to tell you why it's so personal, but I'm going to send you something. So, you know, Paul Keith teaches on a lot of the old revivalists and so on, and the miracle workers and so on. One of them is William Branham, okay? He really teaches a lot on William Branham and has some great insight. Well, he sent me a video, and it was a video that was done in a little church with somebody just holding their video up, and it was one of William Branham's disciples, and he was telling different stories about Brother Branham. And some of them were personal for me, it turned out. But anyway, some of the stories and some of the pictures he showed were places that I've been. But at any rate, one of them was this: when William Branham moved to Tucson, he was out praying in the wilderness, basically, and he found this rock face, and it was his own profile. It was the profile of William Branham in the rock. Now, they've since stopped showing people where it is because people kept chipping on it. It doesn't look like him anymore because they chip a piece of the rock. Anyway, there was another one that looked like an eagle, and they had to do the same thing. But anyway, here was that rock, and Paul Keith knew about it, but I didn't know anything about it. So when he saw that, he thought that was the Lord speaking to him about the power that William Branham walked in and everything. So that blessed me because I did want it to be a blessing, and I asked the Lord, and it became... And so anyway, every time I've seen Paul Keith since then, when I see him, I said, he pulls that out of his Bible, and he's still carrying it in his Bible. So isn't that cool? That's how important it was to him. So I just wanted to share that as a little... addition. It's just a little personal encouragement or whatever. Well, anyway, okay, let me tell you a little story. I thought of this story and I thought it would fit. Years ago, I was out hunting. I was by myself, and I was elk hunting. Of course, I usually have a deer tag too, but when I'm elk hunting, I'm pretty serious about elk, you know. The grouse are safe, you know what I mean? I'm not going to make any noise that I don't have to. And the deer are safe, really, too, unless it's a really big one. But it was shortly after, the sun was just coming up, so it was still kind of dark, and I got on a set of tracks, and they were big. Like, these are the biggest elk tracks I've ever been on. You know, this has got to be a big bull. And I'm tracking, and I'm tracking, and I'm tracking, and it goes into the timber, and I'm tracking, and I'm tracking. This went on all day long. I mean, I was on it for 10 hours. The interesting thing was that there were times when I was going, man, these are the biggest, can these be elk? These are so big, you know. But they're not going to be some other animal because they're in the timber. They're in the woods, you know. And then every once in a while I'd find a, like where it rubbed up against a deadfall or something, or long black hairs, you know. And I'm like, and even in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know, that looks kind of dark. But I was just so focused on elk in my head that I'm on these tracks. And so, of course they have longer legs than me. So now they go faster. But when they get into the thick timber, they can step over those logs. And I came up, I'm coming through those things, and I'm sneaking through there trying to be as quiet as I can. And of course I got to slide over those things. And I came to one spot where it's like a fort where the trees had fallen almost like a little square. And it was like 10 feet by 6 feet. And there it had bedded down there. It was probably sitting there watching me through the, you know, I never saw it move or anything, but it had been laying there. And then it stands up and it just steps. It can just step over those things. But it was in a perfect spot. There's no way you could get to it without making some noise. Anyway, it finally went, followed it, and I came out into an opening. It was a big hill that went down like this. And like I said, this is 10 hours. Okay, I've been on this track for 10 hours. So it's getting towards evening now. And here I look down the hill, and here's this big old bull moose. Looking over his shoulder like, and I didn't have a moose tag, but I'm like, you know what? All day long, back of my mind, there was something, these tracks are awful big, and that hair looks like, but I was so fixated on the elk that it never even dawned on me it could be something I wasn't hunting. Well, you know what? It was worth it. It was still worth it. I, to this day, remember that. It was I did my job. I just had in my head the wrong ending. You know what I'm saying? The way it ended was still good for me because, I mean, I wasn't starving to death, so it wasn't like I had to have meat that night. But it was great to see that and that I was able to get up on it eventually after 10 hours and tracking all day long. And then it was a moose. It wasn't an elk. But I tell you, sometimes we might be tracking something and we might be looking at something, trying to interpret what it is. And we might have in our mind, we know what it is. Yeah. And when we get to the end, maybe it's not what we thought. But the thing is, you got to the end and you found out what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if we start looking at this, what is God saying? And I feel like if we start on the track and we're tracking something, and maybe we have a notion of what it might be. But you know what? If we're honest, when we get to the end, the Lord will show us what it is. And if it is what we're after, great. And if it's something else, either way, it's worth it. Because we get to find out what's at the end of the track. Amen. And so, like I said, that was many years ago, and I still remember it, like, not the whole day. And I was sore for 3 days after that. I guarantee you, climbing over those things, I was sore for 3 days. But I'll tell you that I remember the start, I remember little pieces of it inside, and I remember the end. And I always will, you know. And again, I think that's like tracking the things of the Lord. You know, it's a piece here. It's like Hansel and Gretel following the breadcrumbs, you know. But you're not ending up in the, you're not going to end up in the witch's oven, you know. You're going to end up with the glory of the Lord. Hopefully, you know, at the end, you know, we're going to end up with that. So, okay, so let's continue. I'm going to read you this. This came from a website called the Knights Republic. It's a Roman Catholic website. So, just came up in my searches and I read some of the stuff. So here it is. On New Year's Eve, December 31st, a series of lightning bolts struck four of the most iconic buildings in the United States, which many are seeing as an omen. You don't usually hear that word that often. An omen of things to come in 2025. A spectacular bolt of lightning hit the U.S. Capitol that evening, which was captured on video. It's in itself would normally have been seen as extraordinary, but almost simultaneously a bolt of lightning also hit the Washington Monument. If that isn't bewildering, the Empire State Building was also struck by lightning at the same night, and the Empire State Building has always been celebrated as a symbol of America. Remember, that's the one that King Kong climbs up, and you know, what's that lizard from Japan, you know, Godzilla, you know, he's got to go over there, and everybody's got to attack the Empire State Building. But the Empire State Building for many years was the tallest building on the face of the earth, you know. But anyway, it's still a beautiful building, though. Okay, to top it off, One World Trade Center, which is at Ground Zero, was struck by lightning on New Year's Eve 2024. The One World Trade Center is a historic landmark in New York City that was rebuilt after the bombing of the World Trade Center on 9/11. So it takes us back to 9/11, which, let's face it, the world changed on 9/11. Okay, before 9/11, we never had terrorist attacks in America. They did have a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center 10 years previous, where they went in the basement and they blew up, and it didn't do much damage. But they really wanted to get that building. But the point is that something changed. It's like the world was saying, well, America never gets terrorist attacks. They never have their civilians get hurt and everything. And we were happy about that. But look, it's changed. The day, I'll talk about it, but the day after this happened, some things happened. So the World Trade Center, that's the site of Ground Zero. That's also the site of where our first president was sworn in as the first president of the United States, meaning under this Constitution, George Washington. And then the little Trinity Church is just on Ground Zero, but just a short block from where this building is where they went. After he did his inaugural speech, they went down there and they prayed. I wish Congress would do that nowadays. But they went down there and prayed right there. So under the shadow, basically, of One World Trade Center, under the shadow of the Twin Towers that used to be there. And really, it's under the shadow of our forefathers. We're still living, thank goodness, under their shadow. And if not for their covering, we wouldn't have what we have now. Because our government, at times, has tried its best to get rid of the promises that they handed to us. And if it wasn't for the things they handed to us, including the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, we wouldn't have what we have now. More so from what they've given us than what some of our government officials today give us. Anyway, lightning, this is what I'm continuing to read here. Lightning flashes portend, it says, lightning flashes portend to a stormy year ahead, ? Meaning, do they? This is what they're asking the Roman Catholic website. God is speaking. Now, that's not a question mark. What are the odds of four iconic buildings getting hit on the exact same night? And all on the eve of New Year. Now, I know the Hebrew New Year is different than the Gentile New Year, but most of us are Gentiles, you know. And God spoke to them in the book of Esther on that calendar. And he spoke to them in Jerusalem on the Hebrew calendar. Okay. But God is speaking. That's not a question mark. All on New Year's Eve, or the eve of the new year. This is truly the hand of providence portending to a stormy year ahead. Now, that's not a question mark. That's what they believe. Now, according to a study in 2008 by Ronald L. Holly, lightning strikes roughly 240,000 people per year. I'm going to start reading. I want to read you a little bit about people that get struck by lightning. 240,000 people per year. It's fairly rare. In other words, but it happened three times on the set of The Passion of the Christ. Okay? Now, this is Jim Cavazel talking about when he was struck. Because he was struck by lightning on the mountain there. So he says, I climbed the mountain. Clouds had formed, and 5 seconds before the stroke. Now, he did have a stroke, but I think he means here the lightning strike. But I'm reading what he said. Before the stroke, I had felt what was going to happen. Suddenly, I was struck by lightning. He said he doesn't know how he managed to survive the incident, but he admitted it terrified him. At the same time, though, he said, I felt a peace inside. He said, don't you tell me it was a coincidence. There are no coincidences for God. Even when God resurrects the dead, they will say it happened by accident. I love that. Okay, so he says, when it happened, it lit me up like a Christmas tree. And they were filming, but they were pointing it out different. And he was on the mount where they did the Sermon on the Mount, is when it happened. He says, I knew I was going to get hit. I knew it was going to hit me for about 4 seconds before it happened. He was telling this on an interview on the 700 Club. He says, I thought, I'm going to get hit. And when it happened, I saw the extras grab the ground. They hit the ground, okay? He says, fire was coming out of my head and my body was illuminated, though the cameras hadn't panned over to him yet. By the time the cameras got to me, he recalled that he heard Mel Gibson scream out, what the heck happened to his hair? Because his hair was out like this. He says, I looked like I went to see Don King's hairstylist. 5 minutes after I got hit, John McAlini, an assistant, walks over and says, are you okay? And then he got hit. The difference was that they saw the bolt come down and hit John. All I felt was this giant, tremendous slap on my ears and a few seconds of pink, red, and static in front of my eyes. That assistant actually had been struck before on a set when he had opened up an umbrella and it hit his umbrella and it burned his fingertips. What are the odds of this happening? Now I'm reading again. An astronomical one, and I don't even know if that's a billion or whatever. It's 11, comma, three letters, comma, three letters, comma, three letters, comma, three letters, numbers, three numbers. Comma, you know, that's got to be billion. I don't know. Somebody that's smarter than me. If you live in the United States.
So you have nine zeros.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that's 12, 13, 14 places. Okay. Wow. But I agree with Jim. With God, there's no coincidences. You know, and the fact that they lived. Okay, now, Bob Jones was struck by lightning twice. I think he died once and then came back. But both times, you know, it changed his prophetic. It increased his prophetic and his seeing of the Lord and so on, things like that. But I don't remember all the stories. I'd have to go back and find my notes and stuff when he talked about it, Bob Jones. But okay, now I want to look at Scripture. Okay, for one thing, according to the rule of first mention, which you've learned this if you've had the Nets class. I know some people call it the law of first mention, but I don't call it that. I call it a rule, because a law is unchanging, and this isn't always the case, but most of the time it is. So the rule of first mention is a key of biblical interpretation, where the first usage of a word in Scripture gives insight into the subsequent meaning in Scripture and in the prophetic, I believe. Lightning may certainly be connected with revelation from God and wisdom from heaven to help His people. The first usage of the word that's translated lightning sometimes in the Bible is in Genesis 15:17. Now, I want to say there's different Hebrew and Greek words that are translated to our word lightning. So it's not always this, it's not just one word that we can look at. But I went and looked up the word lightning and then which words were translated from the Hebrew, because I wanted to get to the first usage. And I found out there's three main ones that are translated as lightning, but they're not always translated as lightning. So I went back to the first Hebrew usage, not to the first English usage, okay? So Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, amazingly has two of the three in the same verse for the first usage. So that would make it kind of important. So it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, and then it continues, and it came to pass that when the sun set down and was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. That word burning lamp is two words. It's the Hebrew esh, E-S-H, and lapid, A-L-A-P-P-I-D. And both of those words, which here is translated burning lamp, but both of those independently at times are translated in other places lightning. But this is the first place where either one of them, and I'm not saying change that to say lightning, lightning. I'm saying it says burning lamp, that's fine with me. But it's obviously a spiritual burning lamp. It's something from heaven. And then it says that passed between those places in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying. Would you say that's kind of a good thing? Now, would you say that was kind of off and awe, like the fear of the Lord kind of a thing? Would you think Abraham was like, oh, that's kind of cool, everybody? No, I think Abraham was in a place of, whoa, you know, reverence, yep, holiness, awe. But the Lord made a covenant and spoke to him. That's a good thing, I think. So I think we can take that. Now, we know every place in the Bible where it talks about lightning, it's not always a covenant, and it's not always God saying in their language, although he might be communicating. Okay, let's look at a couple others. So here's some in 1 Kings 18. So you remember this story where Elijah told him to bring all the prophets together on top of Mount Carmel. After 3.5 years, he's been hiding out. So Ahab called for all the prophets to come together and all the children of Israel to come see it. And Elijah came to the people and he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? How many people said before the election, we are at a Mount Carmel moment. The decision we make in November is going to make a decision on which direction this country is going to go. Well, you make up your mind on which direction I think we went. Because, in other words, lightning struck on election day in a sense, not in the literal sense of lightning, but in the sense of politically something struck and we made our choice that wasn't going to go that way. No, we're not going towards communism. We're not going to, at least the people made that decision. I'm not saying the people in power agree with it, but that happened. And it was a lightning strike in the political world. Matter of fact, it was a shock to the world, to many governments around the world, especially our enemies. Okay? So anyway, he says, how long are you going to follow Baal? All this kind of stuff. Then we come on down here to verse 23. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood. And put no fire. That's the word esh. That's the word esh. In other words, fire. They put no fire. So I'm just talking about fire, okay, like a match, like, you know, flint and steel in those days or bow and drill. But don't put any fire on there. And I'll dress the other bullock and put the wood on there. And I'll put no fire on it. And they said, okay, we'll do that. He said, you call in the name of your gods, and I'll call in the name of God. And the God that answers with fire, let him be God. So again, we're talking about esh. So it's the word fire. Up here, where we first saw it, was the word burning. Okay, so then we come on down, and it says, and they went, and they all day long, they went up there, and they called on their gods. And it says in verse 25, but no fire. And then, you know, the story, they continued on and on and on and on until finally he said, okay, it was the time of the evening sacrifice, it's my turn. And he got up there and he prayed to God, Jehovah God. And in verse 38 it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And that sounds like it's even bigger than lightning. I mean, it might have come with lightning, but it melted stones. It took all the water and the wood and the carne, the meat, the sacrifice. But again, you can see it coming down from heaven, like lightning striking from heaven. But that's the word fire, okay? It's the word esh. But it is translated lightning in other places, okay? So that's why I wanted to look at that. Now here also again in 1 Kings chapter 19, it said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. This is when Elijah left. You know, the next day he left there after the prophets of Baal, went up on the mountain, and time went by, and eventually the Lord starts speaking. So he says, go out, verse 11. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Esh. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So what would you say that? The Lord's not in the fire. Meaning the voice of the Lord, but it prepared the way. Just like that storm prepared the way for the Lord. And the earthquake prepared the way for the Lord. But the Lord was coming after those things. So the fire, and then the Lord spoke after. Peacefully, quietly. So in that sense, you think, I mean, Elijah's up there, you know, wrapped in his mantle, watching all this stuff, but he's not running away. All that stuff's happening, and it prepared the way for the Lord to speak to him in peace. So then a good thing. And can you picture it in your mind? When I read that thing from the Scriptures, can you picture the rocks cracking? And you can picture the wind blowing? You can picture the whole mountain splitting? And you can see that fire come down from heaven? And then it's peaceful, and then you hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes He has to come and knock all this stuff out of our life so that we can be prepared to hear, even if it comes really quietly, really peacefully. Well, look. Let me continue here in Exodus chapter 20. Because we're going to look at the other place where we see this word lapid that we read there and also in that verse. So in Exodus, the context is God speaking with Moses and giving him revelation, including the Ten Commandments. So He's given him the law. Okay, now we have the law and the prophets, right? When Jesus talked to the men on the road to Emmaus, remember He said He started at the beginning and He spoke to them of Himself through the whole law and the prophets. Well, what is that? That's the whole Old Testament. You know, the law is what Moses wrote. That's the five books. And the prophets is everybody else. And now sometimes they separate the Psalms from the prophets. But who wrote the Psalms? So anyway, point is that He gave him the whole law, including the commandments. All right. So this is kind of important. Right? It's kind of this to this day, they still look to David as their greatest king and Moses as their greatest prophet. And they still think he's a greater prophet than Jesus, you know, because he did this. He got us out of, you know, anyway. But so in the context, God is speaking to Moses, giving revelation, including the Ten Commandments, then offering to communicate personally and individually with all His people, which they declined. That was corrected on Pentecost. We were talking about that earlier before we started here. The importance of praying in the Spirit, which came at Pentecost, you know, for all of us. So that was corrected at Pentecost for those who wished to hear. And Jesus said, quote, be careful how you hear. He said that especially about the last days. Be careful how you hear. Another translation says, be careful how you listen. It's important to listen carefully when God speaks, and He does speak in many ways. And wouldn't you say in some of these cases, boom, a bolt of lightning might wake you up and get you to listen? Okay, now I'm paying attention. I don't know what he struck that rock and broke it in half. Okay, I don't have a message yet, but I'm paying attention. I'm attentive in the class. And then He speaks. You see, and that's what, because you know, I recommend you go listen to Jonathan Cahn's talk on these four lightning strikes. But his perspective is always more towards judgment and so on. And I think you have to consider those things. But I want to consider going back to the first usage and what, you know, God might be saying to me and what He might be saying to you. Because I think if we go to the first usage, that might hold more weight than what someone says it might mean in the natural sense, okay? And there are examples. You can use examples of judgment coming and things like that. Here's one. Let me finish with this Exodus chapter 20, okay? So in verse 1 it says, and God spoke these words, saying, that's in verse 1. Okay, so now in verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning flashes. That's the word lapid, okay? So here it's not like the burning lamp. This one, it's the word flashing. And, you know, so it's the same word as lamp that we saw back there, but it's pretty well described what you and I might think a lamp in the sky would be like lightning, you know. So anyway, and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak to us lest we die." Now God wanted all of them to be, he wanted them to be a nation of priests. And that's what he's called us to be, nations of priests, prophets, and kings, you know. And so with us, he has that potential. But with us, we also have that potential. But that means we're going to have to stand firm when some lightning strikes sometimes. And we're going to have to say, well, do I got anything to hide? No, I think I can. I'm safe. I'm just going to stand here. If it gets me, you know, my hair will stick out or whatever. Maybe it'll grow back, you know. But anyway, the point is that we have to be able to trust the Lord in those situations, even when it's a little like makes you a little bit nervous. You know, like when you see the Lord, some people fall on the ground, but also some are like Mary, where it's like, okay, this is kind of special, you know, but it's still awe-inspiring. It's you still can say you're awestruck. Okay, now look here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. It's another word. "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning," and this is the word barak, and this is the first time the word in Hebrew, that I believe this is the first time, as near as I could tell, when Barak is in use, okay? "So the lightnings and the thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at neither part of the mount. And the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings." Isn't this just kind of what we just saw in Exodus 20? But for some reason, in this case, he's using Barak instead of Lapid, but he's describing the same exact thing. So I think you have to understand that with the Hebrew. A Hebrew scholar could maybe tell you the little, you know, finesse difference on why this word is used, not that one. I'm just saying it from my understanding. What I would know is they both are talking about lightning. All right? "And the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and they stood afar off." Well, I can understand in a sense. You know, it takes a little courage to run towards the lightning strikes, you know. I got out somehow, I don't know how I did it, but I got out of order here. Maybe that's the Lord, I don't know. But back to some of the things I had written to myself, notes. You know, what can lightning represent? I wrote down power, awe. This is before I even looked in the scripture. Just power, awe, danger, energy, energize. You know, when lightning strikes the ground, it actually energizes the ground so that the grass and so on grows better. It puts enzymes and things into the ground. You know, scientists could tell you more of the details. If it hits a tree, you know, it splits it in half and can start it on fire, you know. But when it hits the ground, of course, where it hits, usually there's a spot. But, you know, but the ground is energized and it helps it to grow. It puts energy in there. You know, actually, that's how Martin Luther got converted. He was riding his donkey and he was out in the open when the lightning started striking around him. He hit the ground and he swore to God that if he helped him live through that storm, he'd become a priest. And his dad was kind of upset with him because he wanted him to be a lawyer. Well, he became a student of the law anyway, but became a priest. Well, at the time he became a priest, he was a Catholic priest, which means he couldn't get married. And so his dad wasn't real happy about that. But then, of course, when they split from the Roman Catholic Church, then they got rid of those things that weren't biblical. And he did have them. But point is, I just had that thought. You know, that changed him and turned him around. Actually, now that I think about it, John Wesley, they were in a storm. Now, he didn't talk specifically about the lightning and so on, but he was in a storm crossing the sea to come to America. At the time, he was an Anglican bishop. But he wasn't born again. He knew all the catechisms and everything. But he said everybody, even all the seamen, you know, that were on there, that was so bad, the ship was about to break up and they were all fearing for their lives. And here was this little group of Moravians over there singing praises to God in this little circle. And the rest of the guys on the ship, they're retarded. They told him they're retarded. They don't know what's happening. So the next day he went over and said, weren't you guys afraid? And he said, no, we weren't afraid because we die daily. So we're already dead in Christ. And he was like, what are you talking about? And then they shared with him the gospel, and that's how he got saved. And of course, it changed him, and eventually they kicked him out of the Anglican Church, you know. But so he became a Methodist, you know. He didn't know he'd become a Methodist. He just was methodizing the things he did, so people called him that. And the reason he became a circuit rider was because they were always chasing him, you know. It's kind of like Robin Hood. He had to just stay ahead of all the guys that were chasing him. That's how he became a circuit rider. And he wrote, you know, I don't know how many thousands of hymns and so on. And he used to say, he did say that I don't get really good at a sermon until I've preached it 1,000 times. I'm like, you know, when I first read that, I'm like, I never preached a sermon more than once because the Lord always gave me something new, you know. I'm glad now that I'm older that I can preach something maybe a second time or a third time, you know, but not 1,000 times. But that's him. That's him. So, I mean, thank God for that storm, you know. And thank God for the storm that converted or caused Martin Luther to make that pact with the Lord. So anyway, all right, let's see. Where did I get off track here? Oh, so I did the thing on Cavazel, and I did the thing on... No, maybe I didn't get off track. All right. Well, I guess I didn't put it in here, though. Maybe that's why I thought I was off track. Because this word, esh, I believe, off the top of my head, because I looked it up in 1 Kings 13, because I wanted to see what was it when it says that, when the young prophet went up there and prophesied against the altar at Bethel,
yeah.
Remember? And then it says that God struck the altar and it split in two. It doesn't necessarily use the word lightning, but you can see that. You can see that that would be it. And I believe it was the word esh in that case, of the lightning coming down and striking that. So, let me go back to mine. I didn't finish my list of things I had written down here. So, all right. So power, awe, danger, energy, energizing, the word from God. Power of God, the glory of God. Judgment, destruction, angels. Those are all things. So now, this could be a warning of judgment if we don't stay on track. Just like, you know, how long do you halt between two opinions? We had our Mount Carmel moment. Now we're going to go back to Baal? I should hope not.
Yeah.
Now, he got rid of 450, you know, prophets and priests and whatever. I don't think he got rid of all the priests, but he got rid of all the prophets. Anyway, but he took care of them, chopped their heads off, and had people help. We haven't been able to do that. We got rid of a few people out of Congress, but we don't chop their heads off anymore. We just take away their authority, which is their headship. But we still got a bunch of evil people there, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to stay engaged. And I was really encouraged by the prayer going up to the election. And what I got really encouraged was the prayer after the election. People were staying engaged. But I think with the holidays and things, people have sort of tapered off a little bit. So I want to encourage people, we need to stay focused. I mean, really, we haven't even come to the inauguration yet, but it's a dangerous period up until then, but it's dangerous afterwards. If you remember the things we shared last year from Chris Reed's dream about the new baby, the new America being born, but then it was going to be on an incubator until the spring and into the summer. So we have to realize we've had a new birth of freedom here in America. But people are not going to, the people who hate that are not going to give up and go quiet. Kamala Harris said that in exact those words, I'm not going quietly into the night. Okay? So if she gets to do what she wants to do, is that good for us? No, that's not good for us. It's the things she and Joe Biden have done are never going to be good, have never been good for us. And what Joe Biden has done for 50 years has never been good for us. It's always been good for the Bidens and often for terrorists. It was good for North Korea. It was good for, anyway, I don't want to go down the list of Iran and all that stuff. Even Iran is now trying to be good to Trump. It's, oh, no, we never send anybody to go try to get Trump and everything like that. Even they want to come to Mar-a-Lago, but he's not letting them. Okay, back to the lightning strikes. You seek the Lord on it. But personally, my thought is, yeah, he chose those on purpose. But I don't think it was, I'm going to judge you. After we just had a great victory, I think what he's saying, look, I want to move. It might shake things up. It could really shake up some places. It could be the economy. It could be the history. You know, it could be the government itself. It could be the foundations, because, you know, the Washington Monument represented all the way back to the foundations. But if God shakes it, it could be good, right? Crisis comes first to the house of God, you know. So that word crisis, you know, is the word judgment. It's translated judgment. We get our word crisis. It's the Greek word crisis, and we get our word crisis. It's spelled a little different, but I think it was a good thing. All right, now the very next day, there were two terrorist attacks. And interesting, one in New Orleans and one in Las Vegas. Interesting enough, you could tell a lot from the responses from different Democrats, Republicans, how they responded on those things. The interesting thing, those were both domestic terrorists. They were both American citizens. Now, one had been radicalized Muslim, the other one wasn't. They both were American military. One was presently a Green Beret. And he was trying to send a message with the Tesla at the Trump Towers. As we found out, it was good that he used a Tesla because it kept the bomb contained in the Tesla. So I read it, and he's the only one that died, and it didn't do much damage outside of that vehicle. I guess they're tough vehicles inside and out. But okay, that's the very next day. That's, you know, less than 24 hours, maybe less than 18 hours. But I think that's, you would have to connect that. Look, we may have some shakeup. I'd keep my eyes open. I'd want to have those glory eyes. You know, I would want to be looking and seeing what is the Lord. Even when you go shopping, it's like somebody said, you know, you can't go to heaven without the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, I can't go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to remember that, especially right now. Make sure you keep the Spirit with you wherever you go. Just, you're going to go out and just go shopping or something, take the Lord with you. Listen to Him. And if, oh, you get stuck in traffic and you don't get upset, you know, He might be keeping you from someplace, you know, for a few minutes. You know, and somebody, I don't remember who it was last week, was telling me a story where they got behind some slow person and they got stuck in the red light, and they were going to turn right. And this guy, I forget what it was, they stopped and they either stalled or he was so slow he didn't. And so they were kind of getting upset with this old guy because he didn't go. And then when the light turned and they turned, and had they been a little bit further ahead, there was a semi truck that ran the stoplight. And they would have been in the middle, they would have got hit. As it was, they saw what happened and they were praising the Lord. It didn't happen. So that's just an example, you know, recent that somebody told me. So again, I think, you know, these things, it can pretend, all those things. It could be judgment. It could be warning of judgment. It could be, and I like to think of it, it's the Lord saying, look, I'm about to act. Yes. And how is that act going to be? Good or bad for us has a lot to do with how we respond to the word of the Lord. Yes. I don't want to respond like the children of Israel did. Oh, Moses, you go here and you tell us. No, I don't want to. I want to say, okay, Lord, help me, cleanse me, purify me, so I can go up the mountain and be with you. Because that's what he wants. Now, not everybody was invited to the top of the mountain like Moses, but still he wanted to meet with all of them, and they stood afar off. I don't want to stand afar off, and you don't want to stand afar off. We want to be where the Lord has us for the reason that he has us, so we can get it firsthand and we can take it out. And so by looking at this, and like I said, I spent 3 days looking at this, but to look at the Bible and look at, I just had fun. And I know I had some friends who were doing too. I just had a good time looking at this. And so let's have fun with the Lord. I always talk about it, having fun with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We should do that. But I do want to emphasize, I do think we're in a serious time. I do think it's a time to be aware, to be awake. And it may be dangerous, but it doesn't mean you might end up without prospering. I think he still wants to prosper us. He wants to bring us through the dangerous time into a place of blessing. I think we can get through. I think we can pray for that baby that's on the incubator, and we can then eventually get it out of the incubator and you know, pick it up and play with it and be thankful. But we got to be serious in this time period that we're in and be aware of the lightnings and what they might mean, but not be afraid of God acting. You know, if you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of what God might do, right? Okay, that's my two pieces. There may be other pieces that somebody else will have, but I just wanted to share that. I appreciate it. Let me. Okay, let me ask you this question. Have you ever sat on a porch during a thunderstorm? Now, some people are deathly afraid of thunderstorms, but there's a lot more of us that, if we can be in a safe place, you know, and watch it and listen and feel it, it's there's something good about it. It's something like that. It's awe-inspiring to sit out there under the porch or whatever. You don't want to sit under an oak tree and have that. But you know what I'm saying? There are. I know I'm like that, and a lot of people are like that. I look forward to a good thunderstorm. Now, I know it can start fires, and there can be other things, but most people that have the opportunity, if they're in a safe place, and to watch it and to feel it, it's just power. And so if it's handled right, and you remember, I hadn't thought of this, but remember when they were trying to understand electricity. And so Ben Franklin gets out there with his son, and he was kind of young at the time. His son was just a boy. And so they sent up a kite, you know, and with a string, and then he had a key, and then they tried to catch it in a bottle, right? And so they got struck by lightning, and they did that. But, you know, of course, it didn't last. But the thing is, other people tried that and got killed. Yeah. They got struck by lightning, they got killed. But, you know, you see paintings of matter of fact, I used that when a certain person got elected. I actually took that picture, that old painting of Franklin with that kite and lightning striking, and I did a meme. I don't remember what I said, but be ready for the storm, I think is what I said, something like that, because we're entering in a storm. And I think I was right. But so it's like, I think it says in James, can a man take fire into his bosom? You know, God may send it, but you don't get to, you know, you don't make that choice, you know. And at any rate, I just don't want it to be thought of 100% automatically that this is bad. You know, I don't also want to people think automatically that this is just no big deal. Yeah, God's going to make some great stuff happen and we don't have to worry about it. No, we have to be involved.
Yes, right. That's right.
We don't want to stand afar off. We want to be involved in what God's doing. He's calling to us. And I think we can say, whichever verse, whichever Hebrew word you want to use for lightning, they're all three were translated into lightning, but they all can talk about God doing something, communicating to us, and it could be a good thing for us. Wasn't a good thing for Jeroboam when, you know, he's get him for doing that, and then his hand got stuck out there, and, you know. But it's a good thing for those that are on the side of Jehovah, you know. And so when we just had what we prayed for months, This is going to be a Mount Carmel moment. And like I said to you guys, and I think I sent it out on the CDs too to people and put on the messages, is we need to pray that when God, matter of fact, I even said that, when God sends the power into the fence, I said, pray that it's an electric fence.
Yes.
And when he sends the power into the fence, that which way are the people going to jump?
Yes.
And I said, they're going to jump the way that they're leaning.
Yes.
So we need to pray that the Lord times that so they jump towards the direction of righteousness. Yes. And we saw that. So thank God. So when he gave us that, answered our prayer, when he sent that power into that electric fence and the people jumped towards righteousness, the majority, we need to mentor that. We need to keep praying into that. We need to, you know, that the people stay focused on what God did and what that means. A lot of people, you know, even today at lunch, the lady said, well, I heard you guys talking. We were talking about some of these things. He says, well, I'm scared to death about the next 4 years. I said, look, all you need to do is just be peaceful, have a little faith, and watch your grocery prices go down, watch your gas go down, and watch that you're going to be a lot safer than you've been the last 4 years. And that's what I said to her. Just to help her out. I didn't try to talk about details with her, but just say, look, you just pay attention to your life, and it's going to get better. All right, well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Remind us to pray in tongues. And Lord, remind us to do it out loud. We should do it out loud because faith comes by hearing. And I'm saying this to myself, too, because I need to do more often out loud than I have. And I know I go in cycles, so there's time. But I need to do it more out loud so that I'm hearing, even though the understanding will come later. But I do need that. So I thank you for that, too. And I thank you for finding places where we can go, even in the wintertime, we can find a spot where we can spend time communing with you, and that you make a way for that. And Lord, we just pray, we lift up our country, we lift up President Trump. We continue to pray for safety over him and his family, over J.D. Vance and his family. And Lord, I pray for his wife, Usha, to call her into the kingdom of God out of Hinduism. I pray that for Cash Patel and for Ramaswamy and anyway, I just pray that, Lord, for so many of those folks that are being put into positions to help restore righteousness, Lord, that you will also call them into your righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.